Welcome, Dumbheads, to MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. In this series, we are examining every single goddamn page of Palladium's Beyond the Supernatural RPG to determine what is the dumbest thing on that page. Every episode is one page, every episode is short. If you'd like to play along at home, this is Beyond the Supernatural 2nd Edition, the first printing from January 2005. Today we're discussing page 225 of Beyond the Supernatural. This is one of those weird days where the page is mostly taken up by something we're not going to talk about yet. There's a heading that says, The Vanishing of Victor Laszlo, but characteristically, I dare say, of Victor Laszlo, I feel like I'm one of the many tens of thousands of people who personally know Victor Laszlo at this point. Characteristically of Victor Laszlo, we don't start with the disappearance. He doesn't cut right to the chase. Instead, we start with a whole spiel about humanity and its hubris and a sort of prophetic vision for the future. Anyway, my point is it takes a really long time. Motherfucker doesn't manage to vanish until page 226. So we gotta handle all that tomorrow. That doesn't leave us much to do today except a little bit of cleanup on what we talked about yesterday. And that's appropriate because what we're discussing today are those members of the Laszlo agency, sort of members, who are responsible for the cleanup, who are responsible for the little details, the thankless jobs. These are the non-agency contacts. Now, they're listed on this page as the sort of fourth unofficial tier of the three tiers of membership in the Laszlo agency, which, remember, is distinct from the Laszlo Society. The Laszlo Society is a website for people who were attacked by the paranormal, or are interested in the paranormal, or are interested in people who are interested in the paranormal, for, say, kidnapping or mockery purposes. It's very broad in its appeal. The Laszlo Agency is the much smaller, more elite core underneath the Laszlo Society. You got your website, but then underneath, you've got the people who do the real work. And that's subdivided into three tiers. You've got your agents, who are the ones who do, quote, active field investigation. Then you got your agency associates, and these are like the specialists you call in who have a variety of different skills they can bring to bear. It says they're not active field agents, but they're available for special assignments. I don't know if that means they purely act in a support capacity or whether they go out into the field from time to time when their skills are needed. Maybe this is like Mask, you know, the Saturday morning cartoon. Could be like that. Could be if you are, you know, an accountant or a computer specialist or whatever for the Laszlo agency, that makes you an associate and you just do that behind the scenes. Or it may be occasionally they got to trot you out into the field to, you know, do the hacking mini game on their way to the big vampire fight. In any case, even below that, you've got your agency contacts. And these are people who are members of the agency. They're in positions where they have influence or information that can help the agency. So they're regular channels of information. They have a small but crucial role. Then at the very bottom, and these are the only ones really listed on page 225, you've got your non-agency contacts. And they're the ones I want to talk about today. They are the dumbest thing on this page because they are both pathetic and highly intriguing to me. Quote, non-agency contacts are helpers and extra eyes and ears around the country and around the world whose work may put them in direct or indirect contact with the supernatural, the paranormal, the magical arcane, and the unexplained. The magical arcane again! I grow increasingly convinced that the author believes that phrase to mean something specific. And I'm beginning to doubt myself, but I'm not going to go down that road. You got me once, Kevin Cimbita, with the portable scan dilator. Never again. These people are cultivated by field agents and associates who know them or have worked with them on an investigation and believe they can be trusted and an asset. They can be anyone who firmly believes that supernatural beings exist and that something should be done about those that prey on humankind. So we got no skeptics here. These are true believers. These are people who prove themselves or show themselves to be useful to field agents and associates. They could be anybody. Basically, if your labor seems exploitable for agency purposes, you go on the call list. And that's exactly what it is. Quote, these individuals are contacted and asked to volunteer information and to help with grunt work and little things, like putting an agent up in their home, picking him up from the airport, showing him around town, and generally keeping an eye out for suspicious events, troubles, and strangeness. I was sort of expecting, going into this category, like a Godfather vibe, you know, like in Godfather, where there's the guy and he needs, like, justice for his daughter, and so the Godfather gives it to him, but then he's like, one day I'll ask you a favor. Then later the time comes, somebody's vulnerable in the hospital, there's a hit out on them, and they kind of like pull this guy aside, like, hey, you need to like put up your collar, look like a mobster, and stand in front of this hospital so it looks like it's defended. He's just a random guy. He's just a nobody, but he owes a favor so he can be called upon in a moment of need just to provide like miscellaneous support to the agency. That's what I expected. But, you know, standing in front of a hospital with your collar pulled up, looking like a goon, that's scary for sure. But it's dramatic, and it's an emergency situation. It's like you get the impression that the mob is owed favors all over town. So when there's an emergency, they can find the nearest person and say, hey, we're pulling you in. It's a desperate situation. We need you to do this. And they've always got somebody in the right place at the right time. The examples here are not glamorous, and they're also not emergencies. There are things you could hire someone for, but like why when you have volunteers? In these examples, not only do they want the non-agency contact to pick up the Laszlo agency agent from the airport and then let them crash at their place, which is maybe something an agent might need if they had to rush to a city to deal with some rising supernatural evil, but you're also supposed to show them around town. Can you imagine this being the call you get after you gave a paranormal investigator your number? Like, they rescued you and you were kidnapped by a cult and they were going to like sacrifice you in a black mass or whatever, and you saw demons for the first time, so you were like, my God, here, take my number. If there's ever anything I can do, how can I ever repay you? Then you get this call a couple months later, like, hey, this is the Laszlo agency. Our special agent Dixon is going to be visiting Kansas City soon, where you live, and we just wondered if you could pick her up from the airport. Yes, of course, of course. And it would be wonderful if she could stay with you at your apartment while she's on agency business. Of course, you people you're doing the Lord's work. Please, my home is yours. And there's one more thing. Are you familiar with the Kansas City Zoo? Yes. Here's the thing. Special Agent Dixon is a real zoo enthusiast. Like Kevin Steen? Yes, like Kevin Steen. Can the agency impose upon you, in pursuit of enlightenment, and in defense of the Earth Realm, to just kind of take Agent Dixon around, maybe hit the Kansas City Zoo, maybe check out the Truman Presidential Library? She's kind of a history buff. Now here's the thing. In this scenario, you, the erstwhile guest of honor at the Black Mass, no doubt you are all for human enlightenment and defense of the Earth Realm. But if you're a certain personality type, this is where you hang up. It's like how sometimes you give money to a political candidate because you strongly believe in them and you think that the election they're involved in may have really high stakes for the future. And then the first time they dare, in their temerity to like text you or email you, you're just like, block, mark as spam. No more email at this address. I know the future depends on you. That's why I gave you $10. Shut up. You cut them off. If that's your personality, you're not going to be a good culture fit for the Laszlo agency. These non-agent contacts who stay on the books, who stay on the call list, are going to be the kind of people who, after they give money to a candidate, or like they give money to the ACLU, they get a call from the ACLU saying, hey, thank you for your $10 donation. By the way, we've got a big civil rights lawyer. As it turns out, he needs to visit your city. His little nephew has a birthday. And right now he's actually traveling with dirty laundry. He's coming right from another assignment. So he wondered if he could stop off at your place and maybe you could just like wash all his stuff. And you say yes. Like, yeah, because I believe in civil liberties, yes, by all means, send this portly man of privilege directly to my driveway where I will do his dirty laundry while he goes to a birthday party. That's the kind of extra mile you can go that would make you a really good non-agency contact for the Laszlo agency. Making sandwiches for the paranormal investigators, buying birthday cards to send around the Laszlo agency office. Maybe, you know, if you're a hairdresser, give an agent a new style while they're in town, or just a little trim. Whatever they need is the key, because certainly you are not in the inner circle. The text says of non-agency contacts, quote, they do not know much more than that the Laszlo agency exists to help people and investigate the unknown, and probably believe it is a tiny fraction of its true size. They are just glad to help. So this is not even a scenario where you know really exactly what the agency does. Remember, the Laszlo agency, it's top secret. Like, despite Victor Laszlo's fame, despite his mysterious vanishing, despite the extremely popular Laszlo Society website, the Laszlo agency is pretty much a secret. Even though, by the way, it says on this page, people sometimes call the agency asking for Victor Laszlo, which just fucking blows my mind. The Laszlo agency has a phone number, a public phone number, that people call asking for Victor Laszlo. There are people who don't know Victor Laszlo is dead, but do know about the clandestine global agency created to do his work posthumously, but he's world famous and the agency is a secret. Like, whatever. I'm done with that. That was yesterday. My point is, these poor non-agency contacts, they don't even know that they're giving out free fucking haircuts to a global agency funded by the legacy of a world-famous expert, they don't know that these are globetrotters coming around the house dropping off their bags of laundry. For all they know, this is like a normal player character group. They may think the Laszlo Agency is literally like 20 guys who live the next state over and travel around in a van, beating up monsters with baseball bats. They may think that is who they're helping, and that may be part of why they feel obliged to give these 20 randos free haircuts, or make them sandwiches or whatever. Like, clearly, 20 people in a van trying to save the whole world. You know, let me give what I can give. I am a hairdresser. Let me, such as I have, give I thee. Free highlights all around. It's the 2000s. Live it up. There's room in the Laszlo Agency budget for highlights, if that's an organizational priority. Even in trench coat horror, someday the 90s must end. You gotta frost those tips. But even though the agency could budget for this, it doesn't have to, because the non-agency contacts are just grateful people, put upon people, without, let's be honest, a ton of self-esteem, who feel eager or obliged or both to do whatever they can to help a nebulous group of do-gooders who have somehow managed to get their phone number. This relationship, first of all, is what I suspect a lot of Victor Laszlo's relationships actually look like, for all the talk about what a great humanitarian he is. But secondly, these contacts seem like they're really well-positioned to engage this game and this setting, because they kind of know about the Laszlo Agency, but they don't really know exactly what it is or what its scale is. They know enough to know the supernatural is real, but not enough to really have a lot of effective knowledge to bring to bear against a given monster. They're interested in and already on board with monster fighting, but they are not trained monster fighters. Like, they're not combatants by and large. They're just in a position to know when supernatural shit is happening and feel like they should do something about it. In other words, they're really ideal player characters. If you're going for more of a traditional horror vibe and less of like a Delta Green vibe, you could do a lot worse than a bunch of player characters who are non-agency contacts who all get the call to bring their distinctive skills to an investigation and kind of get drawn deeper into it than they intended, and then gradually find out about and get deeper into the Laszlo Agency. Nonetheless, this is not really what non-agency contacts are intended for, I feel. I think that they are presented here as assets that your associate or agent player character would have. And the idea that a player character who's in the Laszlo Agency would presumptively have all these hapless, half-informed contacts who can, like, make them lunch or let them stay in a guest room when they need it, it's dumb, and I'm a sucker for it. It is both a logical and ridiculous extension of what we do in these, like, Monster of the Week games. And I am, as the listener knows, a sucker for both the logical and the ridiculous. So whether you want to play these non-agency contacts as player characters or as contacts a player character would have, I'm all for them. I love this beleaguered, unofficial fourth tier of the Laszlo Agency. Join me tomorrow as we leap from the rock bottom of the Laszlo Agency to the very top and discuss, at last, the mysterious vanishing of Victor Laszlo on MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. This has been Mega Dumbcast. New episodes drop every day except for Sundays, when all the previous week's episodes drop in one big megasode on the top-secret Patreon-only RSS feed. If you'd like to get access to that RSS feed and support the show, go to patreon.com/megadumbcast. Contact or check out the show wherever you want. I am Mega Dumbcast on Twitter, Instagram, Gmail, Podbean, your favorite podcatcher, etc., etc. MDC, Palladium Books, Beyond the Supernatural, and all associated trademarks are property of Kevin Zimbita. This season's theme song is Horizon Ending by Soft and Furious, whose work you can find at loyaltyfreakmusic.com. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.